Yeah, Richard made that for me.
Really?
Yeah. And so that's our, like, please wait. That's like our station logo. Yeah, so where I bought it off eBay from a camera reconditioning group. And so they buy broken and working digital, old digital cameras, and certify them and clean them up and then sell them off. When I received it, it was interesting because I got it in a generic box. But then every component that you would have bought the camera with was wrapped in plastic, tied together. They had made sure that every piece that the camera originally came with came in this box with me. And the funny part was I had to preemptively buy a component video to HDMI connector. It's the yellow, red, and white to HDMI, because I wanted to be able to, on Christmas morning, connect it up for her to whatever screen was in front of us, and she could watch some of these movies that are from 2006, 2007. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Well, it was a fun Christmas gift for her because I was really screwing with her head. I had all these components. I mean, I had a FireWire cable so that we could connect it to the Macintosh, and I could take out whatever digital video she wanted to keep off the tapes, and she could put it on Facebook or whatever. So that was one of her first presents. And she's just looking at this. What is this? This is like a reinforced USB cable for my phone, isn't it? Because I keep breaking my cable. I'm like, no, but that's a good idea. Probably should have gotten you something like that. Too bad your birthday's over with, too. And then the other thing, and she's like, all right, now I know you're messing with me. She's holding up, what is this for? I'm like, no, it's part of something else. And then I hand her the camera, and she starts digging through. It's like, oh, it's a video. And I'm like, whoa, be careful with that. It's an antique. And then I gave her a box of all these tapes from when the kids were babies. And so it all made sense to her after that. It was a fun way to do Christmas.
And then she cried.
And then she cried. That's right. I think I got her on film crying. I think everybody's crying by that point.
Our poor leader, he's gone blind. Look at the braille he's got up there.
The braille? Oh, you're talking about this? We are already streaming. It looks like everything is working. Oh, except I haven't hit the start streaming button yet. Let's do that.
You survived the band the other night.
There we are. We're just running a little early.
You're pretty loud.
That's a picture of Computer Club last week.
Yeah.
I lasted a little bit. I gave up after.
I thought that made an appropriate YouTube picture for our club, all these women holding up components from the first IBM computer. What's that? No, those are the tubes. Those are the tubes from that first computer.
Scott, when I did my university degree, I did one of the computer science. Mm-hmm. On the 360-67 IBM.
Yeah.
Tape drives and the whole thing.
And the
64K of RAM was the size of a telephone.
There wasn't a seat in the place.
And I've seen somebody had bought up some of them, and they had cut them into little things. Like, you can see the ferrite donuts. They're that big. And they put them in lucite blocks for paperweights. You know, so you could see actual bits from the computer. I keep telling my students, I said, I got a degree in computing science, never touched a computer.
Never touched
all the cards, all decks.
Right. I remember my instructor. Our high school had a trade school.
Yeah.
And I took 2 years of computers and two years of electronics.
All right, how would you feel about teaching free?
And
there you go. I'm thinking the art league might be interesting. I don't know.
And the first year I was in the computer program was the first year that they weren't teaching punch cards. And the punch card machine was sitting in the hallway.
It's still there.
Yeah. Well, they just
I remember those days.
I typed on those. You know that.
But we used we used dummy terminals that had paper output.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you'd like clackety, 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 clack, and the response would come
IBM's
on paper.
Electric ball on it.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott.
But
it, when you start, I have some.
That's what
okay.
And she's probably had.
See, Scott, the problem today is that a lot of high schools are not offering
they walk
that
away
kind of stuff.
Very proud.
Oh, like the trade pressure, school stuff?
Yeah, the pressure is so heavy in the science and math.
I don't know if.
And English and stuff.
Because it's a craft.
Well, standardized testing and lack of funding has proven that public education is not working. I know how to fix it.
Well, there's just more demands on it all the time. Special education, all that kind of stuff.
16 cents an hour.
Yeah, no, it's
15 cents a day.
Yeah, more resources.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, I remember. It's probably been 15, 20.
Oh, yeah. Maryland teaches us underwater basketball.
We built a brand new high school.
What?
State of the art.
Said, you tried. She was
a fantastic
section
for offering various
it's a pleasure to watch someone, no matter what the craft or trade is, if they're good at
so
it.
Forth.
I mean, even
say that again?
The types of classes that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, like wood shop and all that other kind of stuff, too.
Right.
And they never, ever opened it.
Oh, no.
All that money. You never ever have the curriculum.
You know, I forget when I tell this story about the trade school I went to. It's called the King Career Center. And I always forget to mention that you got college credit for those courses. And so, like, it was natural if you weren't sure what you were doing next. They teach you a skill, and if you're good at it, you'd just have this natural path over to the university.
Right.
Mm. It's an awesome program. And my sister, I come from a family of public educators. And my sister is working at that facility now, and she's an instructor. And, well, the unfortunate thing is it doesn't work that way anymore. It's turned into a regular high school. It's still trade-based, but it's a different emphasis. We're streaming. We've tweeted. It is time. We're in the chat room. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Hi, Cheryl, if you're out there.
She usually tunes in.
I'm surprised that everything does appear to be working. That camera's working, and this camera's working. James is in the shot, even though he doesn't know it. Jim is almost in the shot. We got Jim's arm in the shot.
Well, there I am. I'm just past you.
Yeah, you're on two cameras.
Two.
There you are.
There.
Oh. And we'll go to the cut to the group shot here.
Right there.
Right there. Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right up here.
About here, all
way. Oh, there he is.
Oh, over here. This way.
Okay. Let's get started.
Oh, yeah, that's going to help.
We'll see. There's quite a bit more people here than I was expecting. Wow.
You're never going to get them to shut up.
Do we have a count? Does anybody know how many people are here?
25. They fell off the wagon, that's all.
They fell off the wagon? Yeah. What? 27 people. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and you are the San Carlos Computer Club. Thank you for joining me here today.
Ding, ding, ding. The bell has sounded.
This is an amazing number of people. I'm really happy to see you all here. I've brought a couple of topics like I normally do, but I did want to start out with thank you for showing up at the Smartphones for Dummies presentation, if you did. I was very happy to see you. Thank you, Chester, for being there. I enjoy seeing faces that I know out there as I'm talking to strangers. It made me feel a lot more comfortable.
The thing I wanted to say this morning to those that weren't there, Scott, you did a fabulous job.
Didn't he? Yes.
Oh.
Excellent.
Thank you, guys.
I really did.
Nobody wanted to leave, actually.
No.
Dan did tell me it was the first time that they went for 2.5 hours and no one left.
Yeah. It was a very, very good presentation.
Well, thank you. No, I think that's what they liked about it. It was difficult because I felt like I was having to battle. I was balancing very novice information and trying not to get overcomplicated on the other side. There's some things that required some overcomplification. And
what was the major interest?
I don't know if I'm the one to maybe people that were there had a favorite part of it that they appreciated.
I was one of the dummies.
I was hoping everyone was dummy.
I was one of the dummies, and I wound up with 2 pages of notes.
How do you turn it on?
That was one of the topics. How do you turn it on?
Yeah.
It was.
Because they're different phones and different
places. How to turn it off is a key question.
That's it. And really understanding what off means in a smartphone. And the difference between power down and sitting in a standby state and how to move between those different states.
What things to turn off?
Didn't you record the whole thing?
I did, and I haven't had a chance yet, but we're going to clip it together. We'll clip the presentation, the slides into the recording. Because that was really my goal. My goal was for Chester not to have to take notes, but to just relax.
And he gave a really nice handout, too, I thought. That was very convenient.
Oh, I don't, but we did. We made up a handout on how the 800 numbers. You know, we talked about it in clubs. So the 800 numbers, the cell phones from local numbers, all those different ways to dial, we stuck it on a handout. And the girls said that they'll make more of them in the office if people want to stop by and pick some up. Yeah.
Actually, the one coming up next Thursday I'm going to also, which is Dr. Mike and Dr. Canale.
That's this one.
Oh, really?
And Jesse,
yeah, this week.
There's four presenters, and it's about insurance and health coverage in Mexico, and what happens if you die in the hospital,
exactly.
Et cetera,
right.
Et cetera.
What's the name of it? Is Death for Dummies, or?
Dummy, you died.
Say again?
Riscati for Dummies.
Riscati for Dummies.
Riscati for Dummies.
It's a panel, basically, and it's everything you ever wanted to know about health coverage and dying.
Gracias.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
Right, but it's got the big Riscati logo and everything on the page.
Yeah, that's because the proceeds are going to Riscati.
Well, Riscati's going to be there all.
Right.
So when is it? Let's plug it.
Thursday night.
Thursday, 7 o'clock this week. Death for Dummies.
Right.
Like you care
terminal.
If you die in Mexico.
Terminal?
Yeah. What
terminal.
Difference? I mean, it doesn't matter if to me. Why would I go?
Right. Don't tell anybody.
Well, send somebody who's going to be left behind.
Exactly, and they don't care because they're up in the air. It would actually be easier to die. More complicated if they're up.
Sometimes
more expensive. So I've brought some topics, but I would be happy to take some questions beforehand if people've got something they wanted to bring.
I do.
Okay, Maggie, and then Gary, and did I see a hand over here? And Ed?
I have a question, too.
And Gary. Let's do that order. Let's do Maggie, what's your question?
I guess I should just ask questions. What's his name? Chester. I'm just wondering about the satellite TV that these folks have, and they're very happy with it.
Satellite internet.
And if it's so great, wouldn't it be wonderful to just get rid of Telmex altogether? So why aren't more people doing it?
Well, because it's only so great in those areas that Telmex or Megacable is not great. I know specifically your situation,
yeah.
And you can't get higher than 6 to 8 megabits a second.
Yeah.
So this satellite internet would provide more than that. You can get 10, 15, and 20 megabits a second downloads.
Is this similar to
Hughes? How much did
you say? Yes. Yes. In fact, I believe it runs across Hughes, but the rates are much higher than we remember them being when we were doing direct way is what Hughes did originally. If there's 30, I didn't see it in the handout. In fact, if you give me a second, I think I have a copy of the flyer here somewhere.
And knowing our situation, we used to try to, when we first moved here, we tried to get internet through X-Pro, and they were having us buy those antennas out of Canada, remember? And it never worked. Are we in too much of a hole for this to work?
Well, what I can tell you, from what I understand, it's very similar to the X-Pro offering in that they have access points strategically located around town that are beaming you the service. So your experience as an end user is very similar to X-Pro. You got something on your roof, runs into something in your house, and that creates internet for your whole house.
We couldn't get an antenna high enough. We had to put it on our neighbor's house behind us.
This is when you were with X-Pro. Okay, and so one of the things that they do to qualify you as a customer is ask you where you're located, and they look on their map to see if they can cover you or not, because their points are different from X-Pro's points.
So it might be better.
It's definitely line of sight. The other thing that's different from the X-Pro service is that I believe, I'm pretty sure that they are using Telmex and Mega Cable with consumer-grade equipment to create Wi-Fi pockets around town. This service is doing Wi-Fi pockets around town, and the internet comes and goes through a satellite uplink. So they're not reliant on Telmex coverage or Mega Cable coverage. What I was going to add to that is I believe that because of that fact, because it's microwave from a satellite, they have virtually an infinite pool of resource to dish out. Whereas every one of these hot spots around town with X-Pro, they are limited by how many people use it, whether they have enough capacity. So this company can actually say, we will give you 15 megabits a second and guarantee it.
Be
assured of it. Yeah.
Well, let me say this about Maggie's house.
TCM, is that the name again?
It's TCS.
TCS.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find their flyer right now because they sent it to me. I actually invited them to come talk to us, but I never got an answer.
That would be wonderful.
It's on Viva.
Yeah, it's on Viva.
Maggie's house, for some reason...
Oh, yeah.
She tried IPTV with me, and we couldn't get her any service over there at all. Her internet's just not strong enough to run the IPTV box. You need about 4 to 6 megabytes to run the IPTV box without getting a lot of freezing.
Maggie, do you have electricity?
Do I need that?
What's that?
Yeah.
She has a wood-burning computer.
Oh, wood-burning.
Convert it from coal.
Yeah.
She's just way out there on the edge.
Yeah,
my phone bill last month was 403 pesos, and I'm getting 20.
Okay, hey.
Good.
Here we go. Installation, including modem, antenna, and installation, is 1,500 pesos. And you can get 10 megabits for 500 a month, 15 megabits for 700 a month, and 20 megabits for 900 a month.
There's nothing less than 500?
There's nothing less than 500. And that's why people haven't switched over. Because 10 is about what, I mean, that's 3, yeah, that's like 399, 349.
500 pesos a month?
Yeah.
Well, that's not, okay, that's less than 50. Yeah.
Maggie, you don't have a cable out there.
No.
Yeah. This is a great alternative if you don't have access to Telmex Mega Cable, and you haven't had a good X-Pro experience because of your location.
Yeah, but do you have to buy the dish?
Well, that's what I started with. Is they gave me this pricing. They said that for the equipment, the antenna, the modem, the antenna, and installation, it's 1,500 pesos. And then you have a monthly fee on top of that.
Okay, and that monthly fee, you said?
I've had it before. They come and remove the equipment when you shut down.
They do?
Yeah.
When? Why?
This is the same group, Ed?
He was saying that they remove the equipment.
It's a lease.
Plus you can put it to sleep when you go back to the States.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, they'll do 30-day terms.
And you don't have to have somebody come and check the wires outside your house and check.
No.
What were the prices again?
It's 10 megabits a month, or 10 megabits a second is 500 pesos a month, 15 megabits a second is 700 pesos a month, and 20 megabits a second is 900 pesos a month. Any of those would be beating what you're getting right now from Telmex.
Oh, yeah, because
I think it's a valid alternative for your situation. Until they're going to come out and they're going to fix that infrastructure in your area, then this is a good alternative. And you, if you could put it to sleep, did they assure you that they weren't going to come take the equipment from you if you shut it down? Yeah, I'm betting that for this market, they're out of Hermosillo. I'm betting for this particular market, they're not going to come take your equipment if you're saying, I'm coming back after the summer. They're just going to let it sit in your... Is it Hector the computer guy, or is it the guy from Hermosillo?
I don't know.
I thought somebody said
Hector. I thought there was only one computer guy.
Because I've heard Hector a lot, and then I've heard talk like made me think it was he was from Hermosillo, so I didn't know if it was.
Yeah. Is this the correct phone number, 662-1377275?
That's what I've got. Yeah.
Well, that changes.
No, and who I yeah.
And they would know right away if it's going to work in my name.
They got a local phone number.
Yeah, and actually, I'm reading an email. I'm reading an email from Christine, where she says she talked to Hector Lopez. Is that the same guy?
No, Arbalo is.
Yeah, I mean, he could be Arbalo Lopez.
No.
I don't know.
Possibly.
Maybe we should come talk to us.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the Hector we know, we should ask him to come in and talk to us.
And they apparently have a small office on H where their tower is, but I don't know where that is.
H is the road to Loma del Mar. In case anybody doesn't know, the road to Loma del Mar is H.
It's L after it turns to the west.
It's H when it starts up.
Just think of hand bones.
And then it changes.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't know it was H until I started paying attention to Google mapping. I'm like, oh, really? This is H. And I swear to God, I've lived in the Ranchitos forever, and those were avenues. Right, but if you look on Google Maps, they're calles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your father's house is on Calle Zero.
No, it's not.
It's really.
Yes.
See, that's why you can't find any directions in this town. You can find tequilas. I would use that as an example in the smartphones presentation I did. I pulled up my phone and I said, take me to tequilas, or how do I get to tequilas? And it mapped it out on my phone. What I'm learning is that if there's a business address, if they've made a Google listing, it will work. So if you ask for Cinemex in Guaymas, the movie theater, it'll take you to the movie theater. If you ask for Lay's, it'll take you to Lay's. But if you ask it for 507 in the country club, it's got no idea where. In fact, it was a 22-hour journey to California. I'm like, well, that's worthless. And I'm like, I ought to be able to sort this out. And so I started doing all this different addressing. The closest it could come was the street the address is on. So it could plot me to the street in the country club. Of course, not from the name we use. Not from something like Ceres. It had to be Los Caminos del Ceres, or no, El Camino de los Ceres. That could be found by Google mapping. So
our friends were visiting California, and we were trying to get from Coyote around the bend, and so they entered in their phone, and he said it would take how many hours?
An hour and 20 minutes.
That's not right.
Yeah.
We had it set on walking.
Oh, that's right. Hey, that's a good thing to remember. If you're in Android Auto, which was one of the apps that I recommended, was Android Auto, it makes the assumption that you... Not my car. It makes the assumption that you're driving, but if you use Google Maps, then you have to choose driving, busing, walking, riding bikes, which is kind of cool. It's cool in Alaska for the bed and breakfast because we're right next to the bike trails, and so people can get an idea how long it takes to get out to the coast.
I'll try my buttons.
Scott?
Yes, Gary.
It goes along with something, I think, Maggie, a little bit, and just very little bit of background.
Sound like mine.
We've been here living here for 6 years with a DirecTV box. We have DirecTV in the States.
Right.
We brought a box down.
Right.
Yep.
Got Chava to put an extra...
extra big antenna on it.
Yeah. It's up on top, and it's worked perfectly.
Yeah.
I would put a new TV in Colorado last summer. The direct young man that came, I said, made a comment, you know, you've got a pretty good job here. He said, no, it's a very limited job because direct is going strictly to internet very soon.
Right.
I did see something about 2-3 weeks ago that they've launched their very last satellite. They're not going to do satellite anymore. Then bringing it down to San Carlos, we just built a place across the street from us, has two apartments to it. We're going to bring boxes down. I know somebody who has 18 boxes, and he's been making it work. But another guy here has been told from Colorado that Direct is changing to the Genie type system. Have no idea what it means, except I think what it means is all that they can... you're just within
that.
Your house, and you're not going to bring a box with you anymore.
Scott, I can explain.
Sure.
And
it's but it'll be off the internet, right? It won't be off of the satellite dish, the Genie system.
No.
No, I think the Genie still is on satellite as long as they've got satellite.
I think it's
usage, receiver. They're moving.
Give me a chance, I'll explain.
Yeah, Chester, go ahead.
Okay, the Genie is in high definition.
Right.
Their latest receiver.
Right.
With it, you can record 5 channels at one time. Or you can record 4 and watch one, or you can record 5 and watch something that's already recorded. Together with that is what they call a mini, which is a bedroom, either wireless or with wire, that you can actually do everything you can do with the Genie that you can do in a bedroom and not be competing. The problem is you can't do the mini over in your apartment unless you run a wire.
Yeah, it's like an octopus hookup.
So what you've got is a single locale, and not going to be able to take boxes out and set them up anymore.
But it's worse than that. In that they have announced that at the end of April, they're going to discontinue standard broadcasting off of Satellite 101.
Right.
And everything is going to be high definition.
You have to have the new receiver.
So in San Carlos, you not only need a new receiver,
right,
which could be, if you have a high definition receiver, one of the older ones, it'll still work. But you have to have a high definition antenna.
Yep.
The antenna that you require, and I have one if you want to see it. It's a 5-foot antenna that they designed for Alaska and for Hawaii. And it cost about, it used to cost about $1,000 to buy one and install it. But come April, that's going to be the high definition you're going to get.
But you're also going to have your service from the Mexico San Carlos location. You're not going to have it in Colorado.
That's not correct. I moved my high-definition Genie from my motorhome to Oregon to Mexico, and it works in all three places. Yeah.
You mean you physically moved it?
Yeah, physically moved the receiver.
But there's only one receiver that you've got, right?
Yes, one receiver and two minis.
So you're saying that even after they change from satellite,
that's coming
still
later.
Able to do that?
You can today go to DirecTV Now, and there are 3 or 4 different packages that you can get,
right,
none of which compares to what DirecTV has. But so far they haven't, I don't think, resolved the recording issue. Ultimately what AT&T wants to do is take DirecTV.
I think we've got Ed next
to streaming. Totally, but it's
and then Gary and
time.
I'll
then
put you behind
cut off
Gary.
Shoot themselves in the foot.
Okay.
By getting rid of customers that you need and use the satellite.
He's got a motorhome.
So with people that have...
Well, that's what I was thinking too. Is that even when this all switches to just streaming, I'm sure DirecTV is going to continue to have motorhome contracts because you can't guarantee internet wherever you might end up with your motorhome.
Those people with motorhomes are going to have to buy.
High definition,
which is about $1,800.
So what this, if down here you have fiber optics, which we happen to be fortunate enough to have. And pretty quick, I don't know, 15 download. It's almost moving you towards like a fire stick of some sort.
Right, that's exactly what it's doing.
Well, actually, you DirecTV.
Well, now, go ahead, Chester.
It'll work in the States, but I'm not sure it'll work down here.
Well, I don't want to have three different.
We've had people in here that have used DirecTV Now, the streaming service, down here successfully. I want to say it was Paul. I don't see him here.
There
but
again, no. you've got to have a service at each location. If you don't now, you will soon.
The problem is
you're going to pay for that service at this location, another service, just like Telmex is having to have a phone at different locations.
But I don't know that.
Well,
the problem's going to be if you go to internet, if they go to internet, they're going to be able to pick up the Mexican IP and they're going to cut you off.
Yeah, that's the thing is the Genie system is like a base station, like I think of it as an octopus, but it's a base station like the cordless phones you use in your house. An extension by itself is going to do nothing. You need that base station. And so the Genie system's like that. The base station's plugged into a satellite dish, high-definition dish. It shares that feed with all the extensions. The extensions can be put in different rooms, like different bedrooms. And from one of those extensions with a remote control, you can access anything you've recorded using the Genie. So you've got full, but it's all inclusive. So you can't take one of those and move it to another part of the country. In the past, what they would do is you would get a five-room system, and they would be five individual boxes, and you could take one of those boxes and move it to a new physical location and still get service.
So one quick question. I don't need any detail unless somebody else wants it. So a Fire Stick is approximately what cost originally? You're buying a piece of hardware, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, what's the approximate cost of that?
Yeah, $49 is almost.
And that's when it's not on sale.
I still never heard it.
$49.
$39.
Yeah.
$30.
Or $39, $50.
$49.
Yeah.
On sale.
That doesn't matter.
But then you have to buy your subscription.
You can also look for a package where they're selling like a smart speaker alongside it. It's Amazon's ready to just start giving this stuff away.
And all you have to do with that Fire Stick is you just have, with Telmex and with internet. It's just in different phone systems, you can just tie into each one in a different fire stick for each location.
What you're I think I know the people you're talking about. They bought, I don't know how to pronounce it, Radiosity or Radio City? I don't know how.
Radiosity is the way I've been pronouncing it.
They're getting it for $10 a month, where other people are paying $40 a month for Scott to set it up.
So there's an individual first cost, and then there's a monthly.
$10 a month. Because they paid for a year. And I don't think there's a first cost. I don't think there was even a... There was nothing. It was just $10. Though, no, I take that back. There might have been. There might have been a first cost. But then they pay $10 a month because they paid a year in advance. And because you guys have fiber optic cable, you can get Amazon Prime US. I have Smart DNS, and it won't work at my house. Netflix
house.
But it won't get Amazon Prime.
You have all kinds of options, but what you don't have in any of the options is
recording.
I brought an HD high definition new receiver down here. But I had to call Travis because I couldn't get it to work, and he had to do some reprogramming on it.
Yeah, probably aligning too.
And so I had him write that all down, or I wrote it down. He showed me what to do because when I go back, I have to redo it for up there.
Oh.
And it works. Yeah. And I didn't have to change my dish either.
Which receiver do you have?
Irving, you had something to add to this?
Down here?
Yes.
You got the first one.
I bought it from
just
up
like
there.
A phone.
You have a master and you have a satellite.
I think you get standard broadcast.
And other residents somewhere in the United States or elsewhere, the master has to be there for the work.
Right, it's a whole different installation.
I'm not sure, but I know I had to have him do that.
I called me up and said, you send me the standard broadcast, no charge. They sent me
the old one does that.
Right.
The old one.
Is this thing 5 feet big?
They reset my contract, and they didn't tell me. That was part of the deal. I was not informed.
So you were getting a new contract with the free equipment.
And they reset my contract, which is like a 2-year contract. So if you want to quit, they're going to charge you quite a bit of money to quit the system.
So that's a good little bit. Just basically pay attention to how they're upgrading your stuff, because Irving ended up with a new contract when he didn't realize it. Yeah. They offered him the Genie system for free, and when he accepted it, he found out later that he had actually accepted.
They said, I have to have it. They said, right. They switch you.
So you didn't have any option.
They just said, we're changing the system, and we're sending these receivers. How many receivers you got? I've got quite a few.
But your acceptance meant that you had locked yourself into a 2-year contract.
Right. Somewhere in the fine print, there was nothing about that. I was into a 2-year. And that could be very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing to keep in mind anytime this kind of stuff's going on.
The other problem is, if they go to the internet, you know, like when you bring your box down here, you can't call for a movie.
Right.
Okay? If they bring that down here, then they're going to be able to pick up your IP address again with the Genie even down here, and you won't be able to, they'll cut you off.
Well, I know that's a concern. And we should look for people's experiences down here using DirectNow, because I know I'm pretty sure it was Paul that was telling us that he was using.
You can get the pay-per-view movies by on a computer. You don't have the phone up to your TV, but you might get it on your computer.
Linda's referring to the streaming service that DirecTV is turning into.
I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about that.
And the concern is valid, because we have technologies now that recognize where you are on the internet. Paul's experience was DirecTV didn't care. He was able to stream his shows, and DirecTV didn't care that he was in Mexico. Now, that may change when they change to complete streaming, because they're going to try and sell streaming boxes in the Mexican market, I'm sure. But at this moment, I know that's what he was reporting to. I'm sure it was Paul that was reporting that to us, that he was able to watch shows from DirecTV streaming right on his computer without any issues, even though he was in Mexico. Ed, I know we've been waiting to hear from you for a little bit here.
I'll add to this. I piggybacked my brother's Dish network for 5 or 6 years using the internet connection, and it works fine.
Streaming.
I've used HBO Now.
Streaming.
Down here streaming, and it works.
And this is without a VPN.
Just using smart DNS. And also, Maggie, so I watch Amazon.
No,
Prime,
no, it's not.
Well, you probably have fiber optic.
No, I don't.
Well, I don't know why.
What's it doing?
It'll work, and then it freezes, and then it'll work, and then it'll freeze, and then it finally goes.
You have to re-update your DNS.
Pardon?
Well, one of
but Netflix works fine.
One of her issues is infrastructure. Like, at any given time, it could be 2 megabits or it could be 6 megabits. You never know.
It's slow internet.
I'm going to look into this.
And if you want to know why Netflix works, it's because they have a box in Wimus that's buffering movies so that everybody using Netflix is having a good experience.
Wimus paying $10 a month for Radiosity on her Fire Stick is getting Amazon Prime just fine. She lives close to here.
Yeah, well, Amazon's the same way. They're actually not using Radiosity when they use Amazon.
Okay, they're getting Apple. So why is she getting Amazon Prime?
Because Amazon has a box.
It's green.
Yeah, it's not
and
through.
It won't work on ours.
Amazon Prime has a box that's real near us as well, because they offer Prime services in Mexico, and so they are ready to get these streams. Whereas the Radiosity streams, the Kodi streams, they come from wherever they can be found on the internet.
Okay.
And so you could be suffering from timeout problems just because of your unstable internet connection.
Okay. So when I put it on smart DNS and I can use Netflix perfectly.
Exactly.
Why won't Amazon Prime work?
It probably, I can't tell you. I don't know why. I can speculate a lot of stuff, but I can't tell you the real reason.
What's Radiosity?
That's that service that Scott Bailey's been distributing. Where
what I was selling, similar to what I was selling you. You know, the
Oh, and on this note, you guys, Ed and Jim, trying to help people sort this stuff out. I have bitched about the Exodus plugin, and I finally figured out my problem had nothing to do with Kodi. It had to do with my range extender. And all I did was pull the range extender, put in a completely different piece of equipment, and the thing's just flying and working great. And it was just, and it was a very strange problem to try and sort out, because every Netflix worked great across it, right? The Netflix worked great across this really crappy internet connection I had in my back office. I had no problems with Netflix. I could surf web pages, do my email. Basically, everything except pirating shows was working. And I was blaming the Kodi box, and I had other issues with my range extender that prompted me to just go buy a new range extender. And the moment I plugged it in, all my problems were sorted out. So it wasn't a Kodi or an Exodus problem. It was definitely my hardware problem. Ed, you wanted to add?
I emailed you a deal during last week. It sets up about being able to speed your internet up using a smart DNS, and I just didn't understand it.
I remember that. I wasn't quite sure what that was referring to. But you know, another one of the apps that I was recommending in the smartphone for dummies presentation was that 1.1.1 app from Cloudflare. And because of the way that app works, it has the potential of giving you faster internet access because of how it looks up the names that you use on the internet. When you type in CNN.com, using that app, it sends the request to find that number to Cloudflare versus going to Prodigy or Megacable. And because of the way the Cloudflare network works, many times that's a faster transaction. I mean, you're just looking up a name, kind of like these are DNS lookups, and you're looking up a name, kind of how you go to a phone book and you look up somebody's number from their name. Your computer, you type in something like CNN.com, it needs to go to a DNS and find out what number that relates to. So by using this app, you're going to the Cloudflare network. Cloudflare is one of those networks that has servers all over the world, because what they guarantee to developers is quick access to their content. And so they contract with Cloudflare, and Cloudflare reproduces their websites all over the world. Essentially, like I was saying with Netflix, Netflix has a box in a data center with Telmex. Cloudflare has a box in a data center with Telmex, because they have so many customers that people need easy access. They've put these boxes out there. Because they have a box in all these data centers, many times you can get a faster response using their DNS than you can using a traditional internet network. Cloudflare boxes will pass these requests between themselves in a mesh standard. They also, as a bonus, added encryption to these requests and have pledged not to collect your activities, your lookup activities. If you could imagine a phone book that would keep track of every phone number you ever looked up, that's what's happening right now with our DNS service providers. DNS has always been an open standard, so anyone between you and your DNS provider can track all the websites that you ever look up, how often you've looked them up, where you're coming from looking them up. Now, these aren't being used for nefarious purposes. They could, but they're not. What they're really being used for is to sell advertising. And so places like Comcast and Prodigy and Megacable, they have contracts with advertisers that allow advertising that you see on web pages to be locally based and to be oriented towards your behavior. So if you've ever wondered why when you go and read somebody's blog, later you see an ad on a Google search that is related to your blog, it's because your DNS provider has sold all your DNS activities to an advertiser who has sold them to a pop-up advertiser, and they've based it on location and your activity, and it's been singled to your connection. So what this app does is it allows that kind of communication to be encrypted. So that's... Say again? Oh. It allows that kind of behavior to be encrypted, so it's not shared with the rest of the world. It allows you to do potentially faster lookups because of the nature of their network. And they have pledged to their users they're not tracking this information. They could flip a switch and do the same thing that your internet provider is doing. They've pledged openly not to do that, that there's nothing in their systems to keep track of that information. And as of such, no government can come to them asking for it. No advertiser can try and buy it from them. So I find that a really, really interesting app to add to your collection. And it's available on iOS and on Android.
And it's 1.1.1?
Yeah, 1.1.1.1.
Four ones.
You can search in the App Store for that, and you should find it.
It's easy to find.
If you want to hear, if you want a written up explanation of this, go to the website 1.1.1.1 and they'll explain everything I was just explaining and have links to the app stores where you can download it. Okay. Yes?
Okay. So if you had Smart DNS, would you then also need the 1.1.1.1 or would it be redundant?
You can do it in conjunction. Now, the, we'd want to think that out. Because the app will affect the device it's on, but it doesn't affect all the devices on the network. So you could have Smart DNS running, and it affects all the devices on the network, and then you could want to, like, because you're not running Netflix on your phone or on your tablet, you could want that encrypted, possibly faster lookups, and download the app for that one particular device and use it. So you can run both of them in conjunction. I don't think you would want to try it on the device. Like, say you're using a box for your, like a Fire Stick. You're using that for your Netflix, using Smart DNS so that you're getting the American experience. Then you probably don't want to run 1.1.1.1 on that because I think it would side. Would it? I think it would take over. So I think it would ignore Smart DNS and it would take over as the DNS on that device. I think that would be the concern. I would try it just because I'm curious. What I like about the app is it's just an on or off switch. It's like a light switch. You install it and you either turn it on or you turn it off. That's all there is involved in it. So it's very easy to experiment with. You can turn it on and try going about your business, and if you run into problems, you can turn it off. Try again. Try and narrow down whether it was the reason you were having problems or not. So I would definitely try it, but I would speculate that it's not. It would get in the way of using the Smart DNS.
Well, doesn't Smart DNS encrypt your DNS lookup?
Sort of, in a way. When you're using a Smart DNS, you're telling it to go to a different DNS service. Okay, and so instead of using Prodigy, Smart DNS is saying go to this other DNS for lookups.
So,
oh well, and what happens with the Smart DNS service is that it does the lookups for you like Prodigy would.
So it'll work with this satellite Wi-Fi, right? You'll be able to set me up.
Yeah, I think you guys are using Smart DNS and the satellite. Is Smart DNS not working correctly with it?
I keep saying it's not set up because I have a new router.
I guess I'll have to look at it to see what's going on.
Since it's not working now, I'm getting the Mexican version. And there's a bunch of shows that I'm really enjoying. Yes.
This,
so can I turn that off and on so I go to the American experience and back to the Mexican experience?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I do that.
Right,
then I need to
yeah.
Do
yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
So what other subjects are there?
Whole lot of things. I'm trying to hang on to that last concept, and it's fading away from me, and it's gone. I don't know what I was going to add to it. And it was, of course, the most important information of the morning.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay, Gary, did we hit your question? Because you were the next one in line.
Okay, it may have something to do with the 1.1.1.1. I don't know. But all of a sudden, when I go to Gmail on my computer, it comes up a Mexican thing. And I installed that 1.1.1 on my phone.
Okay.
Is that affecting the computer
now? No. So that app is on individual devices.
So why is just started yesterday? I went to Gmail.
And it's coming up in Spanish?
Coming up some Mexican type thing.
Well,
Gmail Mexican thing.
So are you doing it through a web browser? I'm assuming that's what you're using.
Yeah.
You're using Chrome to do that?
No, it's not Chrome.
See, this is frustrating. You can use Gmail with any web browser, the Opera browser or Firefox, but they have done a really good job of making Chrome the browser you should be using for.
Is that the problem, you think?
What I'm about to suggest is that the new Chrome browser automatically creates a profile for you in your Gmail account.
Okay.
What that means is you can set your setting, always do English,
yes,
always do US, and it stays in your Gmail account.
Okay.
And your Chrome browser always signs you in as your profile. So the entire time you're using the Chrome browser, you are you, and it's tracking your searches, and it's tracking your history, and cookies. They pass those around. They synchronize your bookmarks with that account. So in that respect, if you were a privacy nut, you'd have a lot of trouble with this suggestion. But as far as ease of use, you can easily set up Chrome to sign you in to your Google account. You can easily keep your English settings in your Google account. Okay. So the whole thing flows with the right experience. You open up Chrome, it's in English.
Well, on that screen that came up, I went way down to the bottom.
And
it gives you that opportunity to change over to where I could go down the list and do United States English.
Yeah.
And I did that, and then it brought up some other thing where I had to fill out a bunch of stuff or something.
Oh, I'm not sure what that would be.
I know.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I wonder if that's a different... Maybe that's not... Because Google, you can... On the home page of Google, it'll come in Spanish.
Yes.
Down in the lower right-hand corner, there's something like switch to English or English version.
Yeah, I could do that on a couple of my things where I have to go up to the top and do that.
So if you were to do that under your login... then that would get saved with your login.
Okay.
And so then whenever you're logged into Google services, we need to start calling it Google services, because it's whenever you're logged into Google, you are logged into Gmail. You are logged into YouTube. You're logged into the Google accounts. With the one login, you log into your Gmail account, now you're logged into Google searches. So every time you do a search, it's being stacked under your Google account. So we really need to start calling it Google services, Microsoft services, Apple services, because it means so much more than just that one thing. All right.
New subject.
Gary, go ahead.
Does anybody make a computer with completely an SSD hard drive?
Yeah. In fact, most computers are SSD hard drives now. Now, the new ones have gotten up there. I think we're looking at a 2 terabyte really, really soon now. Yeah. They just, I don't know if you guys saw, but Lexar just released a 1 terabyte SD card. So for your digital cameras or your phones, 1 terabyte.
Try to fill that up with pictures.
So that tells me that 2 terabyte SSDs are just right around the corner. But right now, you can easily get a 2 terabyte SSD for a computer. The most common when you buy a package, I still see, is 0.5 terabyte and 1 terabyte when you're on the high end of the SSDs. I haven't seen a 2 terabyte sold yet.
One I have is 5-6 years old, and it has a 125 gigabyte SSD plus a 2 terabyte
mini hard drive. Right. Yeah, and that was a really common way to do things. And the Macintoshes went through a period of time where they used these hybrid drives, where they were a spinning drive that had, I don't know, like 10 gigabytes of SSD on the front end of it, and it would boost performance.
You can also hook up an external SSD and get you terabyte plus.
Yeah. Yeah, the...
And that's a little chip.
It's an external
drive.
About the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Okay, Bob, you have a question.
What's next?
Oh, you're next. Linda's next. Go ahead, Linda.
What is the difference between dynamic IP and static IP?
Oh, that's a great question. You use an IP number to identify your computer on the internet. It's one of the reasons that we have to use DNS is because people don't remember numbers, so we associate names with the numbers. A dynamic IP address changes, and a static IP address is fixed. So a static IP would be the webcams in your house, or maybe your network printer, because it's never going to change, it's never going to move its location. You want to easily be able to find it on the network. And so as administrator, I would set static IPs on those kinds of devices. Whereas your laptop would probably have a dynamic IP because you'd want to move it into different environments. Like I bring this from my home network over here into Tequila's network. Their network has a whole different set of numbers and their gateway is a different gateway. They're theoretically they're pointing at a different DNS, and so all that stuff gets assigned to the device when the device comes into the network and gets connected.
So that's what the problem is with my Netgear Orbi.
I don't know.
Every time Telmex goes down, which could be sometimes four times a day. I don't think people really realize how often it's going down. Even if it goes down for a minute, then my Orbi is off. I have to reset my Telmex box, and then my Orbi starts working again.
And when you say reset, you mean power it off and power it on.
Unplug it.
Yeah, unplug it, wait 10 seconds, plug it in.
So they said on the Orbi, I went on the help thing, that I needed to get a dynamic IP. And I went to a dynamic IP place. It's called No ISP or something.
I haven't done it.
But the Orbi website says I need a dynamic IP.
Okay.
And it says that you have to keep unplugging the Telmex router.
Right.
And plugging it back in, and then the Netgear Orbi picks it up. So every time it goes down, I get the pink circle.
Right.
And then I have to reboot.
And then it doesn't come back to working.
It doesn't come back.
Until the Telmex device gets rebooted.
Right.
It's got to be equipment, because we've never had, unless I don't know, that Telmex goes down.
It's going down sometimes three and four times a day, even if it goes down for a minute. And I never realized it till I got this Orbi.
Have you tried reporting this problem to Telmex?
Yes.
And so what are they telling you?
Just a minute.
Who are you reporting to?
I have to call you back. Okay.
What's an Orbi?
I'm fixing somebody's...
It's a mesh network, like the Euro.
Well, the guy came out, the heavyset guy, he speaks a little English.
Tell me the Telmex
much.
Guy?
From Telmex.
Okay. We don't have regular texts as far as I know. All the texts are coming from Wymas now. I don't think we have any texts assigned to San Carlos at the moment.
He speaks a little English. He's kind of heavyset. I forget what his name is.
There's always two running around, but it's not the same two anymore. It's whoever Wymas spares at the moment. That's what's changed, is we don't have anybody with San Carlos interests have worked with you before. Sometimes it's the same guy, or it could be some guy you've never met before.
He told me I needed a dynamic IP.
He's probably not the one to help you with that.
Well, he didn't even know about mesh network, but he said if it's not coming on each time after the Telmex goes down.
The real problem is Telmex is going down.
So then I went to the Orbi website and said I needed a dynamic IP.
What is odd by this is that when you say that, I'm assuming the Orbi has been set up with a static IP address, like I was explaining, like your webcams might have or a printer might have.
Well, the IP address on the Orbi, it starts with a 10,
Well, it
because my printers all are tens, and everything it starts with a ten. Where the
right, and that's correct because the Orbi is creating its own network, and it's only getting internet from the Telmex router.
Correct.
Yeah. So the ten is just the network you've chosen to support.
Right, but do I need the same address as the network?
No. In fact, that would confuse issues because it wouldn't know how to route your traffic. Your Orbi is a subnet of the Telmex router, and it's got its own set of IP numbers.
Okay.
Yeah. What's up, Jim?
Couldn't you just add in a MAC address to the Orbi and to the...
Well, this is the part that's confusing me, is you would think that the Orbi's default would be dynamic IP address. That's it. Just out of the box, you would just assume that's the setting.
The website...
In fact, if it wasn't, it wouldn't work when you plugged it in. You would have to assign it an IP address, a static IP address. And I don't believe that you or I did anything like that.
No, but I went on the help set, and it tells me I need a dynamic IP.
Yeah, it sounds like what you should do is chat with Orbi and get them to remote into a computer where they can look at your Orbi. Because what's being suggested on the site should be the default setting. It shouldn't have changed from that. And I know the real problem is your connection to Telmex keeps going down, and I think the problem is that the Orbi is fragile.
Yes, I think so.
I think that's what's the real issue, because I witnessed the problem while I was there.
With the Buffalo. Had a problem with the
Buffalo. I think the Orbi is fragile, and I think that it can't... I think it gives up trying to get a dynamically assigned IP address. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is why you... I mean, it must be a pulse of electricity that's telling it to try again. Because if it just sits there and Telmex comes back, the Orbi never comes back. But if you pull the power on the Telmex and plug it back in, something prompts the Orbi to try and get an IP address again. Right. I'm sorry, Ed's waiting back here for sure.
Go ahead.
What do you want to add to it?
Mine was a different subject.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do... Linda, did you want to add more to...
The thing is, now this is what's weird. If it goes down and it comes back up, if my husband is sitting on the TV on Netflix or something, it will stay on. This is what's weird. But if you go to change the station, it freezes up and won't change the station.
Oh, I don't know what to tell you about that.
If the Orbi goes down and I have the Wi-Fi on the Telmex turned off, as per your instructions, it's not on. So.
But isn't the TV plugged to Telmex?
No.
You've got it plugged into the Orbi?
No,
I don't remember.
IB TV box?
Yeah.
The TV is plugged to... No.
It's through the Orbi?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not remembering it. I'm sorry, Linda. Right. I'm not remembering it. But what it could be is if you let the TV just sit there, eventually it would stop. Because it's just buffered.
Okay.
Yeah, and changing channels is the quickest way to see that problem.
Right, and then it goes...
Yeah, and it freezes up.
It freezes and it won't change.
Right, yeah. That sounds like... It sounds like it's not getting data.
We have TV and phone on all day long, and we never have any problems.
Right. Linda's in the country club. I think that there's an infrastructure or a hardware problem out there. Yeah. And I think Telmex can get away with not doing much about it because it's only a second. It's just a moment it goes down.
It is.
And then it comes back up.
Right.
But because she's got it plugged into another device, it's the other device that's suffering from this problem.
Could it be a grounding?
No.
No? You have grounded?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, it seems like when I was there, I checked all that stuff.
Yeah, we have it grounded because when we first moved in that house, they didn't have it grounded, and we had it grounded.
I'm really afraid that it is a product that has not gotten all its bugs shook out of it yet.
That's what I think.
Yeah. And I don't think there's a whole lot you can do. I bet it would work great for somebody that has a Telmex connection that doesn't go down.
Right.
But it's not working great in a situation where it hiccups.
I never noticed that it was going down before, but that was the problem I was having with the extender in the living room.
Yeah, I believe it is.
So I had an extender in the living room, and I told Scott that we were having problems with it. That's because the Telmex is going down more than you know, and I have all kinds of stuff.
Well, Linda, to be clear, not everybody's having this problem with Telmex. You're having this problem. I've seen problems like this.
All kinds of people that are having problems with the Telmex because they're calling me for the IPTV. Mm-hmm. And it's going down more than you...
I think it's going down quite frequently. Uh-huh. At least in Via Hermosa, we have that.
Okay, so there's another problem.
Seconds. 3 seconds.
Megacable came out with new routers. Somebody up in the Caracals got this new router, and now he's having all kinds of trouble with the IPTV box.
It could just be a crappy router. Megacable is notorious for putting out crappy equipment.
Well, then I have someone else with the IPTV box.
Yeah.
And she can't get all these stations. Now, and I'm not having any problem. I'm getting all the stations, so I can't figure out why she's not getting these particular stations. And I've done everything. I rebooted her box. We've done all kinds of stuff.
Speed tests and stability tests. And it all looks like a good connection, but it's just not working with your equipment. I sure don't know.
It's just not working with certain channels.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to help you with that.
So,
I mean, that sounds like an IPTV issue with your service provider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, this person is up on the Caracal, and he got this new box, and now he's having problems with it.
Wild.
It's cutting out. I don't know if it's the box he got.
Well, Linda, we're just about ready to shut this down. Let me get some other people in here, because Ed's been waiting to ask a question. I saw Irving put his hand up.
Well, only in regards to the shutting down of the Telmex.
Yeah.
I find, and this might be an answer for you, if you can connect Wi-Fi instead of direct. I find that when my Telmex goes down, my Wi-Fi still works. There must be a split system.
Sure, they are. They are. And on that note, I have had issues with Telmex going down. I mean, and we say that. It's not Telmex. It's something about my link to Telmex that has gone down. But my equipment won't recover. It'll leave me with a Wi-Fi connection and a power light and no DSL. Right. And the only fix to it is to unplug it and plug it back in. Okay. That is happening to me about twice a week. Yeah, I know there's other people that aren't having those problems, and I think the kind of problem that Linda's having, her equipment actually recovers from the problem. So if you're out of the house or you weren't on the internet, you wouldn't be aware that this problem happened. In my case, I'm aware of it because it doesn't work again until I unplug it, wait, and plug it back in. Similar to say again,
kind of rebooting the system again.
Yeah, it's the only way to get and it took me a while. I mean, I was ready to report it as a problem until I realized it was the equipment that I've got. It's Telmex's equipment being unforgiving. It's like it's gone down and now it won't turn itself back on. Yeah. And the only thing to prompt it is to reboot the equipment.
I have the new Telmex router and it works perfectly.
Yeah. Well, they are distributing new routers.
Really, Telmex?
Well, yeah, their latest equipment is an upgrade to, and they'll give them to you for free. One of the reasons they're distributing them is you can't set your own DNS in it. You don't have as much control over what that router does for you anymore. Which probably for 80% of people out there, it doesn't matter. They'll just plug right into it. But for I see Jim nodding his head. I know he's the kind of person I am with that kind of stuff. I want complete control over the equipment in my house. And it was the first thing I noticed about the new equipment is this lack of control in that respect. What it does, though, is it guarantees that they're able to collect all your DNS lookups and use that as marketing fodder so they can create a side business and profit revenue.
Well, maybe I should go get the new router from them. Mine's that little white one that was about this big, and I mean, it's been working perfect.
Well, it's not working perfect. Maybe it's dropping your connection.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, I mean, what you need is a report number. And you can bring it in and get it traded at the office. They used to just trade right across the counter.
You can't do it in the office anymore. You've got to call the 800 number, and then they'll schedule a guy to come out.
It's *2222.
Within 3 days.
And they speak English, and they'll give you a report number, and they'll come. They came to my house within 24 hours.
Hey, I learned something new. I didn't know *222 was doing anything.
I don't know if it's *#. I think it's *2222.
222. Well, we'll try it. *222 Telmex.
Your report number.
The number that I'm familiar with is 050. If you call 050 for your phone line or your internet, you can fill out a report
you're
there.
Old.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're really out.
Anyway, what I was going to say is that if you're, for us smart DNS people, if your internet box goes down, you have to go in and reset your IP address on your computer in order to update it, and it'll automatically kick it out.
Well, every time I sign in and out of that, it changes. The IP address has to change, right? On smart DNS.
If your box goes down, you have to go into your computer on your account and reactivate a new IP address.
Your box goes down.
Yeah, like
the router.
Modem goes down.
If the modem goes down, yeah. Yeah, actually, what Ed's saying is that if your Telmex goes down, when it comes back up, it's going to have, because Telmex assigns dynamic IP addresses, mm-hmm. like we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And so when your device comes back up, it has a different IP address.
Right.
That IP mm-hmm. address needs to be associated with Smart DNS.
All I do is sign out of Smart DNS, sign back in, and it puts in the new.
That's all you should have to do to re-register with the new IP address. And actually, I think maybe we never did get it set up on auto, but there's an auto mode in the router.
It does it automatically.
Oh,
yeah.
That does it automatically.
No, we did not.
Yeah. I know I set it up for somebody, but maybe I set it up for you guys.
So if what you're saying is correct, then if we switch to this other Wi-Fi service, it should just be a matter of signing out, signing back in, right?
Right, and probably with the satellite service, you would probably have the same IP address for a lot longer periods of time.
They do go down. Trust me,
The satellite?
The satellites have blackouts once in a while.
Yeah.
So how do you lock it? How do you do the automatic? Is that something I can do?
It needs to be programmed in your router. Yeah, it's a set of scripts that needs to be put into your router.
So what number do you call for service for Telmex? Not the 01800?
Well, you can dial the 01800-123-2222.
Yeah.
Maggie's saying you can do *22222,
four twos.
Bob's be careful with this cable behind you.
Yeah.
A cable.
There you go.
Go ahead and stand up, and I'll move your chair out of the way.
That's okay.
You sure?
Yep, I got it.
I can move this for you.
I'll be careful. I just forgot.
That's all right. It's still right there by your ankle.
I see.
Yeah.
Did you see the new Netflix post this week? That they're no longer going to allow sharing of passwords.
Oh, yeah.
No,
oh, yeah,
did
saw
not
that.
See that.
Saw that.
They don't know if they're going to implement it right away, but it came out of this CES show. Did you know that?
Wow.
So I didn't
hear and all those. They come up with a new some kind of program that'll detect password sharing.
Let's bring that topic in next week. I've got a couple of topics that are good topics that I'll save for next week. Is there any last words before we call this meeting to a close? Yes, Irvin.
Does anybody have an Epson printer that uses 220
ink cartridges?
Yeah.
220 ink cartridges. Are you selling them?
I'm giving them away.
Giving them away. So if you have an Epson with the 220 ink cartridges, Irving's got ink for you. Any other last minute things?
Nope.
All right.
Informative today. Thank you.
Yeah, and
so you think if I switch to Chrome, that should take care of that problem with the Gmail.
If it doesn't immediately, you can set it up so that problem will go away when you start up. I'm a little disappointed in how they've made it very clear the best experience is going to be using their web browser. Yeah.
Isn't there a way you can change?
I'm bringing up my list right now.
I've got the Android
Auto. Yeah. I'm bringing up the presentation from the other day because I got it all listed there. Yes. Well, WhatsApp is another recommendation. I don't know why it wouldn't come up with English. That's crazy. Here we go. So yeah, the things I had listed as recommendations were Android Auto, Google Maps, because, and I recommend it because Google Maps is available on both iOS and on Android. Google Translate is available on both. Android Auto is only on Android. Podcast Addict, if you're into podcasts. Apple has their own program for podcasts, but the Android has something else. Magic Jack. Magic Jack. And then the 1.1.1.1.
Magic Jack, if you're going to use that if you're traveling or something else. Like,
well, if you're using Magic Jack, you should have the smartphone app, because the Magic Jack allows you to load that app with a username and password on any of your mobile devices, and then you don't need the Magic Jack. You can install the Magic Jack in your house. Every time it rings your smartphone as well. So if you're not a Magic Jack user, it's not such a great recommendation. But there's a lot of people around here that use Magic Jack. They aren't aware that there's a smartphone app for it. So my Magic Jack's in the office. If somebody calls on it, it rings my cell phone because I've got the app installed. Because you have the app installed, you don't have to have the Magic Jack installed.
I fall into your wife's, can he take a look at the battery in it or something? Because the thing doesn't last hardly ever.
Yeah, you know, you could drop it off at my office and they would get it to my brother.
Yeah.
And he could test your battery for you. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just having a real problem, you know, if I unplug it. Like,
you're
right
welcome.
Now, it probably won't even come up. It's gone, well, it's lasted longer than usual,
73%.
Yeah.
How long has it been unplugged?
Since we've been here.
An hour and a half?
Yeah, I had it plugged in the car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be the battery. You know, another thing it could be is you could have some apps that are running.
And that's a problem, too. Yeah. So they could look at that.
Yeah, you're looking for, and Sony would be able to sort that out for you.
Okay.
And if that's not the case, if she determined that the battery is the problem, then she could refer it to Benny. Yeah. Questions? No?
Meeting.
Okay. Hey, let me say goodbye.
So
this has been...
I have an Epson, but I don't know what the ink is. So.
Sorry, Ray. I don't mean to tie you up there. In fact, we can unplug...
I've been tied up by Ben.
And that's how we'll end today's Computer Club.
Take a look at mine, too. Yeah,
nothing like a little bondage right at the end.
I just use it as a scanner, so I don't really care.
So thanks for joining us. If you're interested in this and other recordings, you can check out our website at sccclub.org. If you're looking for a fast way to get to the YouTube channel, you can type in youtube.scc.org. You'll go to our YouTube channel. If you're looking for computer help and you're anywhere on the Internet, I'd appreciate it if you'd connect with me. It's scott@internationalcs.net. Our business has been doing computer work here in Mexico for over 20 years. You can find us at internationalcs.net. You can call our local offices at 226-0209. And the last thing I want to put in there is a little plug for tequilas, because we meet here every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15-ish. They got great food. They don't pay me anything for saying that. They just give us great internet and good table service. This is a place to go. Come early. Feed your stomach and feed your mind. I am out of here. This is it. Tech on. Love you guys. Until next week.
I love that part of the show.
I love how you refer to it as a show.